I'm Bill Littlefield. Coming up on Only a Game, a look at the brilliant, paranoid, and often controversial life of Bobby Fischer with the help of his biographer, chess authority Frank Brady. But first, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce for our look at the week's news. Hello, Charlie.
Hi, Bill.
The time has come for your annual invocation regarding tomorrow evening's attraction.
The Super Bowl is good.
Came out just exactly as I hoped it would, so thank you. It certainly is good to those who profit when lots of people are watching television. Last year's Super Bowl telecast set a record for viewers. That was 106.5 million of them. Does XLV do even better?
It could. You know, last year they had not only the star attraction of Peyton Manning, but also the redemption story of the New Orleans Saints, which was the feel-good story of if the NFL is capable of having a feel-good story, this is a feel-good story. I don't think the redemption story of Ben Roethlisberger quite comes up to that, to be perfectly honest with you. But these are two trademark franchises. They are two, in some sense, national franchises, maybe not in the sense of the Dallas Cowboys or the Oakland Raiders, but still, you know, two brand names going back to the dim times of the 1920s. So I think they'll be right around that number or maybe just a little bit above it.
A not-so-new idea is getting a groundswell of support on Facebook, Charlie. A number of groups are proposing that the Super Bowl should be moved to Saturday so that fans can better indulge without negatively affecting productivity on Monday. And by groundswell, I mean to say the idea has gotten a few hundred supporters and an article on SI.com. What do you think about Super Bowl Saturday?
I think it's one time of the year where we don't worry about productivity like we're a bunch of gears in a wheel. I'm perfectly willing to leave it where it is.
In college football news, Floyd Raven's mom forged her son's name on a letter of intent, and then apparently she also sent the letter to the wrong college. Floyd and his mom want to talk more often.
From her standard, she really wanted. What happened was he left the letter of intent at home, and his mom sent it in, hadn't realized that her son had changed his mind and wanted to go to Texas A&M, sent the letter of intent to the University of Mississippi, and she wanted him to go there. I don't think this is an accident,
all
by
right,
the way.
Maybe not. But to Mississippi's credit, they said, hey, if the kid doesn't want to come here, then it's all right.
What the heck? We'll recruit his mom.
Charlie, we spoke previously about the 13 University of Iowa football players who had been hospitalized with a rare muscle disorder after, quote, intense winter workouts. Now several hospital workers have been fired or otherwise disciplined in connection with the release of the news about those players. Coach Kirk Ferentz is still employed at Iowa, I assume?
He is. And yes, if these people released confidential medical data, they should be fired. I mean, there are two separate issues here.
Bad idea to do that, obviously.
The other thing that's going on is, and I said this last week, and I hope that the University of Iowa is keeping this investigation out of the hands of the athletic department because it certainly seems like these kids were overworked.
Lane Kiffin is still employed as well. His former employer, the University of Tennessee, will apparently be cited by the NCAA for, quote, failure to monitor during Kiffin's one-year tenure. The NCAA will also cite Kiffin, who now coaches at USC, a program which has NCAA problems of its own because of the guy who used to coach there. Any chance Kiffin's new employer decides it's really not worth the effort to keep him around?
It's interesting. I don't know what's going to – that's a good question because I don't know how big this whole thing in Tennessee is going to be. USC does not need another fistfight with the NCAA. I wouldn't be at all surprised if they started looking sideways at their current head coach.
I certainly hope, Charlie, that you tuned in to the Bruins-Stars game on Thursday night, or that at least you were watching for the first 4 seconds of said game. Do you want to take us through that?
I thought I was watching security video from the parking lot. There were three fights in the first 4 seconds of the game, and it was a pretty good game. It was a 6-3 win by the Bruins. It was an awfully good hockey game once they got the pregame festivities out of
Maybe
the way.
Maybe that was the theory, because I hate it when a good hockey game is interrupted by a wrestling match with guys pulling each other's sweaters. Maybe they thought we'll get it all out of the way in the first 4 seconds, and then we'll have a hockey game.
That's not a bad theory, and you know what? If the NHL were to follow this, I might soften my stance on fighting in hockey.
The NHL suspended Bruins forward Daniel Paille for 4 games for a blindside hit on Stars forward Raymond Sawada in that same game. Sawada has a broken nose and a sprained shoulder. Is the NHL making the right choice by stopping blindside hits but allowing these kind of fights we're talking about?
Well, yeah, because I don't think anyone ever gets hit and gets concussions and loses their careers in one of these fights. Paille's was a blindside hit, which is why the NHL started looking at it up close and personal. Suspension's probably the right thing to do.
We're into February,
yes.
Which means the TV promotions for March Madness have already begun for an event that doesn't actually end until April. But okay, have you any wisdom to offer regarding teams that we're likely to see in the last couple of rounds of the big basketball tournament?
Yeah, Ohio State is every bit as good as their record looks. Jared Sullivan is a terrific player, as is the freshman Josh Selby at Kansas, who will not be at the on campus at Kansas University 23 seconds after the Jayhawks get eliminated in the NCAA tournament, whenever that is. The Big East Conference is absolutely loaded. They don't have, Pittsburgh's their highest-ranked team at 4, but they've got a whole bunch of teams in the top 20. And the other thing that's really interesting about this season, Bill, is that there is no Butler. There are no mid-majors making that kind of noise. You're looking at, I believe, a Final Four from the power conferences this year.
Labor relations, always a big deal in sports, Charlie, as they are in our country's steel mills. What do you make of management's latest demand of the Pittsburgh area U.S. steel workers?
They have to come to work Sunday or Monday, and if they miss it without cause, they will face, quote, severe disciplinary action. Remember what I said before about one day a year where we don't have to be cogs in the big wheel? This is what I was talking about. I am terribly sorry, but U.S. Steel should be embarrassed for this.
Now, this is reminding me of the great line from A Christmas Carol. It's only one day a year, sir.
Yeah, it's a poor excuse for picking a man's pocket every 24th of December.
And finally, Charlie, given what a pain in the neck, back, and shoulders all this snow has been, I think we should give credit to Boston.com for creating a fun take on the growing drifts. Do you like the way they're measuring snowfall?
Yes, we have nearly an entire Shaquille O'Neal's worth of snow out there this year. He is 7'1", or 85 inches. We've had 70.5 inches of snow this year. And so we haven't nearly an entire shack of snow.
And I can't see the window from here, so I don't know if, as you speak, more is falling.
More is,
but I wouldn't be a bit surprised. Charlie Fierce is the author of Idiot America, among other books. He joins me each week at this time on Only a Game. Thank you, Charlie.
Are there no prisons? Are there no workhouses?